Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday Jewel from Jane Elizabeth. And so glad to have you all here. I'm going to share my screen so we can take these words together. Here we go. So glad to have you all with us today. There we go. All right, just sit back and let yourself relax into our space together and just letting these words move in and through you, aligning you with that presence of God within, opening you to whatever your soul came to wake you up to today, whatever that is. We are aligned with the presence of God within. We are protected by God's love, wisdom, knowledge, and grace. The God consciousness within helps us discover more about who we are. Thank you, God, for the gift of spiritual intuition. Thank you, God, for aligning our conscious, subconscious, and superconscious mind. And so it is. And our Jewel today, Jewel from Jane, is called Love and the Opposites. And in this video for today, I'm going to highlight what Jane is talking about in the video regarding the opposites. Because one of the things that she says is that we need to understand the opposites that we're living in and how much they dominate our lives in order to be able to step out of the opposites. And we're going to talk a lot about that this morning. So first of all, what are the opposites? And yeah, we've been talking about them for a long time, but let's just review because it's being highlighted for us all this week as we do our work together and individually together. and we're going to be looking at the opposites and how they show up in our lives this week. So the opposites are the experiences in the third dimension that are on different poles of our personal judgments. The third dimension is run in our minds by the opposites, or maybe it's by the opposites that are in our minds, because my opposite may not be your opposite. We all have our own sets of opposites. That's why we need to do that exploration individually of, you know, how do opposites show up in my life? So opposites are things that we deem either good or bad, that we like it or we don't like it, that we want more of it or we don't want it at all, or we strive for it or we strive against it. And there's everything in between those opposites also. Like maybe we feel neutral about something, but that's still in the opposites, even if we're standing in the middle of an extreme. And I'll give you some examples of that this morning. Ice cream is the silly example I chose to work with today, but Jane talks about this in the video regarding our relationships, our situations, anything. But I want to just kind of be silly with it to kind of open that door and to help you start that exploration of, okay, well, if it can show up with something as silly as ice cream, where else can the opposites be showing up in my life? So for me, I love chocolate ice cream. If I'm going to eat ice cream, I want it to be chocolate. Now, I don't like vanilla, like by itself. Like I like it okay. I could eat it, whatever. But I prefer ice cream, vanilla ice cream, if it has a lot of other gooey stuff on top of it and nuts and all sorts of stuff. So I like vanilla ice cream, but it's conditional. And sherbet, I do not like at all. I do not like any kind of sherbet. I do not want my ice cream to taste like fruit because that is not dessert. So you see, I have all these rules in my mind about ice cream. And really, In real life, I don't even eat ice cream. I like ice cream that is non-dairy, and seldom do I like it. I prefer chocolate chip cookies. So look at this. All of these extremes over a little silly topic about ice cream. Now, looking at chocolate ice cream, I did not like chocolate ice cream at all when I was a kid. Did not like it. I just did not like the flavor. I didn't like anything about it. And now I like it exclusively if I'm going to have ice cream. Here are the opposites. That's how it works. We love something 1 minute. We don't like it the next minute. We don't like something 1 minute. We love it a few years later. And that's how it goes. So be thinking about, like, if this shows up with something as ridiculous as ice cream, where else is this showing up? Is it showing up in, well, temperature? I love it when it's hot, and I don't like being cold. I do not like being cold. So there's another silly opposite. But let's look at this in our relationships. Well, we have our friends that we love, we have our family members that we love, we have our acquaintances and family members that we don't love so much in the third dimension. We may be able to see them as souls in evolution, but when they're standing right next to us, we might have a little reaction to them, positive or negative, right? As we deem it, positive or negative. There might be those people that, well, I like being around them, but only when I'm in the mood. We all have people in our lives like that. And that is all part of the opposites in the third dimension. Because when we step into our fourth dimension perspective, things look very different. And we don't hold them the same way. And that is the whole purpose of our exploration today. Jane explains to us in this video that opposites have existed to help us balance our souls over many, many, many lifetimes. We have, those opposites have helped us learn about cause and effect, or karma. We want to call it karma, cause and effect, to teach us responsibility for our actions. When I was my crusader life, that really helped me understand. Like, that was an extreme lifetime where my personality self at that time exhibited behaviors that, once that lifetime was done, my soul, my consciousness at that level that it was, what, 500 years ago, whatever, that it looked back on that behavior and deemed it bad, and deemed it really bad, which was not a bad thing. But what then it helped when my soul went into its next lifetime, those behaviors weren't an issue because it had learned its lesson. So we have these experiences of the opposites so that we learn how to steady ourselves. We learn also about our free will. Like, that was my crusader's free will to go and do what he did. Maybe he didn't know any better. Maybe he was at such a low level of consciousness that that was the best thing he knew how to do at the time. But he also learned that that wasn't such a great idea. Pillaging and stealing and all sorts of other violent things he was doing at that time. And so then my soul used its free will to choose differently for the next lifetime, and so forth. And our consciousness has grown. So where we are today, we have very different views of right and wrong in the third dimension. We have very different views of good and bad in the third dimension. And we're just as attached to them now as my crusader was, what, 700 years ago. So this is about looking at what opposites are we holding today that have been meaningful to our souls to a certain point. We have come to this place where we are basically good human beings, and we know what's right from wrong in the third dimension, and we live our lives from that ethic, that third dimensional ethic. And there's more. There's always more. So Jane brings up again that this lifetime is a parenthesis in the evolution of our souls and moving forward. So our third dimensional personality self, this lifetime, is encapsulated in this lifetime and believes that its very limited perceptions and judgments are fair, just, true, and complete. It cannot see that there is more. So when we aren't looking at our souls as souls in evolution, and we are just living our lives in this parenthesis of our soul evolution, then our opinions that we hold, we feel are the be all and end all of truth. And they're not. They're just what we have come to so far in our soul's evolution. And is it good overall? Of course it is, because we have come to this place where we are the best behaved human beings as than we have ever been in the history of our souls. So yay us. But those are also judgments that are fine in the third dimension, but they don't mean what we think they mean in the fourth dimension. And that's what we have to look at. So we have to look at these opposites and how our mind and how our personality self hangs on to these opposites. And this is, it can be very subtle. That's why I kind of use the silly ice cream example for us today to kind of break us out of being too serious about it, because they show up everywhere. So the personality self says about these beliefs that we have, this is what I know, and therefore it's true for me, and it's true for everybody else. And we're going to judge everybody else based on these opposites that we are clinging to in this moment about what is right and what is wrong and what is important and what is not important and so forth. Our ego self says, I know what is proper behavior, and I am judging other people by my definitions of that. And if you behave by my important and well-earned standards, you have my approval and possibly some love for me. But if you don't live up to those standards, eventually you will have neither my approval nor anything resembling love. And that's how we work. And it's not pretty. It's not pretty to think about that. But if we really are honest with our personality self and looking at how we have behaved in this lifetime, we see a lot of this, and it's okay. And one of the important parts of this exploration this week, looking at these opposites more deeply, is that we're not going to judge them. Hopefully, we can laugh at them. We can think, oh, there's chocolate ice cream, or oh, there's sherbet, you know, or whatever flavors are in your continuum of acceptability. So, you know, and have fun with it and look at, oh yeah, that person, I used to really like them. And now, oh my gosh, I can't even stand to be around them. Or whatever, you know, or maybe, you know, I'm thinking of a person in my life where I really looked up to them, and then I really, they were on my coal for Christmas list. And now they're kind of teetering in the middle somewhere, and I'm just waiting to see where they're going to land. But not really, because I'm doing my work, right? So I'm in a place of, okay, I see the, I want to say the volatility of my interactions with this person, and I want to do my part as a soul evolutionist and embrace them and be able to share with them unconditional love and support and approval and respect. So, but it's good for me to see the opposites that I have been karmically engaged with this person in my life. So, you know, we look at these behaviors. Jane mentions her daughter with special needs who, you know, when She was, when Jane was working on this lesson within herself, she was asking, you know, why, God, why do I have this child in my life who has so many needs? And her answer that she received from that was to teach you about love. She said, well, of course I love my daughter. But then when she looked at it, there were times when she loved her daughter, and there were times when her daughter drove her crazy, because that's what parenting is like. Parenting is very much in the opposite, right? And so using those people who are difficult to love in our lives is, and looking at the opposites of, and the conditions around our love is valuable to be able to help us step back and see and be in that bright yellow flash of the observer self, and be able to look down at our parentheses and see what's really happening, instead of being in that capsule of our personality self, kind of stuck in there thinking our opinions are the be all and end all of everything. And they're just not. They're not. So we step back and we look at those opposites that are happening, and how they have not only run us for many lifetimes, but they're running us today in so many ways. And we want to be able to step away from that. You know, we think we have free will, and certainly we do, but our free will is all over the place on those opposites. That's all our free will has been doing, is bouncing us back and forth from the opposite. Well, I have free will. I'm a kid. I don't have to eat chocolate ice cream if I don't want to. I'm exerting my free will. Well, now I'm an adult, and that's all I want to eat is chocolate ice cream, you know, and that's my free will too. But if I step back and look at it, it's like, well, chocolate ice cream isn't good or bad. It's a preference that my taste buds have. That's all. And it doesn't mean that everybody should be eating chocolate ice cream, although that wouldn't be a bad thing. But you see that those opposites and the charge, the emotional charge and the mental charge behind those opposites have been batting us back and forth for many lifetimes. And being able to step back from them, we get to free ourselves from being batted around by the opposites, thinking it's our free will, thinking that we're right. It's silly. It's silly. We are the emperor that has no clothes, and we think we are fully gowned in jewels and robes and velvet and so forth. And we're not. We're just being batted around by the opposites. That's free will in the third dimension, but it's not true free will. So we want to step back and look at how monopolized our decision making is by these opposites, and how much they consume our time and attention, judging things based on what we've decided up to this point today, based on all the other lifetimes we've ever lived. So, you know, there's history to the opposites that we prefer or don't prefer in this lifetime, but it doesn't mean that they are the whole story. All right, here we go. All right, so how do we get to where we want to go? Well, we remember that we came in with a life plan at the level of consciousness of our most recent lifetime. So whatever desires and aversions and so forth, lessons and abilities and talents that we had in our last lifetime, those helped shape our lifetime for this lifetime that we're in. And the life plan holds possibilities of growth for us in this lifetime, but we get stuck in the maze of the opposite. Maybe we came in to work on a forgiveness with somebody. I mean, we all have some of those going on, but we get into these opposites. We get into body. You know, it sounded really good when we were hanging out with the Lords of Karma, but we get into our bodies and we say, oh my gosh, I really don't like that person. I don't think I want to do that work. I would rather go eat chocolate ice cream. So I'm going to go do that because that feels good. And forgiveness doesn't feel good. The need for forgiveness doesn't feel good. Well, okay. So without our consciousness, without our actively saying, okay, there's more to this program, there's more to this life than what I'm liking or not liking. And I need to get out of that. But how do I do that? Well, we get that observer self out. We have our support system and we get that observer self out and we watch how the opposites affect us all day long. We just observe them. One moment we're feeling great, the next moment we're feeling down. One thing makes us happy, the next thing ruffles our feathers. And how do we get out of being turned left and right? We observe. We observe. James says in the video that, this maze of the opposites will keep us desiring things because if we're going after the things that we like, there's always more things that we like. Or if we're running away from things that we don't like, there's always things that we don't like. And it's never ending, never ending, never ending. I was at a store yesterday with some friends, and I don't really go to stores since the pandemic. I have become accustomed to ordering everything I need online. So I was looking around, and it was kind of a tech store, and there is a gadget that will detect leaks in under the sink, I guess. And it was expensive and it was fancy. And it came with an app that monitors. And I'm like, oh my gosh, wow, that is specific. That is really specific. And like, but I was thinking the person who came up with that, maybe a friend, my friend suggested maybe that's for people who have, that seasonal home. And if something's leaking, they want to know from a distance. That's awesome. That gives them peace of mind. But then, how many gadgets do we need to have peace of mind? I'm all for that. I think that's great. So we've grown past the old-fashioned way of things getting wet, and that's how we found out there was a leak. That's awesome. But then there was going to be need to be an infinite number of gadgets to help us have peace of mind. And to continue to keep us from feeling uncomfortable, or to keep us from or to keep us feeling comfortable, and it just never ends. And that's the one of the many points that Jane is making in this video is like, this is never ending. Let's get off. Let's stop being batted around by all of these things that are out there based on our need to feel okay. Because the only way we're going to feel okay is by getting out of this third dimensional consciousness, where into the fourth dimensional consciousness, where we can see better what's important and what isn't. And not what's important in the world, but what's important in the flow of our higher self. And when we're around other people, when there are other people in our lives, then that means we are in the flow of what's in the best interest of their souls. And that's where we want to be. We want to be in that flow. And to be in that flow, we have to be out of the mind, the third dimensional human mind. And to get out of the third dimensional human mind, we have to understand how, one of the phrases Jane uses that I love is sticky gluey, how sticky gluey the third dimensional realm is that keeps us stuck and keeps us going, oh yeah, and now here's this flashy thing and here's that flashy thing. And it just goes on and on and on. Okay. And she says, you're never going to want to get out of the opposites until you become aware of how they dominate your existence. And that is so true. We would just be continually going for the things that seem right to us and and judging and trying to get away from or stay away from or make stop the things that don't feel right to us. And that just isn't a never-ending battle, because the third dimension has a value limit. And that value limit is, once we realize what's happening, that's our time to get off and not continue to spin around back and forth thinking that we have all the answers. And we do feel like we have all the answers. And that's part of our detaching from the third dimension, is that we want not our mind answers that have come from history. We want our soul answers that come from that universal storehouse of knowledge and wisdom and intuition that knows way better than the gut. Wouldn't it be awesome to be so in touch with our intuition, so connected with that infinite intelligence and infinite knowledge, that we don't need that gadget. We don't need that gadget to show us that there's a leak in our summer house, because we can feel it, because we're in tune with the things that are our responsibilities. And so we know, we just have a feeling, I just have a feeling to go check on that. Then we don't need an app and we don't need the gadget. Isn't that amazing? I didn't even think about that until just now. Hey, we don't need those. Okay. Anyway, what is love? Such a great question. And Jane says, if love is the answer, what is the question? So many times she has said that. But in order to see what love really is, love from that fourth dimension, we have to see what it's not. Love in the opposites, love in the third dimension, is conditional. It just is. It's not right or wrong. It's just how things work in the third dimension. We're bound by our karma in the third dimension, and karma is filled with opposites. Liking one thing, one person, one situation for as long as we have the karma to like it, and then not liking it when that karma is over and it shifts to the other side. And that's just how it is. Love in the opposites is conditional. True love is unconditional. True love is from that higher self of us. It's not from our personality self, as our personality self is infused by that higher self. We live from that unconditional love. So first, in order to make room inside of us for that unconditional love, we have to detach from all those opposites and the pull that those opposites have on us, on our feelings and emotions, on our decision-making, on our judgy thoughts that go through our head 24/7, you know, and just being able to look, well, if I wasn't liking or disliking something, this whatever situation is in front of me, what would I be thinking, feeling, or doing about it instead? And that space of that question, well, if I'm not liking or disliking it, what do I do? And just be in that space with no answer to it. Just be. What if I didn't like or not like any kind of ice cream? What would I do? I could probably take or leave ice cream then. And if it was meaningful to whoever I was with to eat ice cream with them, I would, even sherbet. And if it didn't matter, then I don't have any desire for anything but being in the moment. And this is where we want to be. This is where we want to get to. We want to be in the flow of whatever is ours to do in the moment, not from the judgment of the mind, but from the flow of that intuitive higher self. So this week we are charged with looking at those opposites. So observe your mind 24/7. Notice how those opposites are dominating your consciousness all the time. This isn't about deeming that wrong. Because if we were wrong, we're not. This is just how it's been for many, many, many eons of time, many lifetimes, that those opposites have dominated us, and they've needed to. So this isn't about judging what we're seeing. It's about going, oh my gosh, that's chocolate ice cream. Okay, so fascinating. I had no idea. This is about discovery. So no hammers, no feeling down about yourself for seeing all these opposites. This is just about noticing. What opposites are you noticing? And what conditions are you placing on your inner peace? Well, I would feel better if such and such, if this person didn't bother me all the time, or if I had a gadget that told me when my sink was leaking, I would be happier. You know, I wouldn't be in this opposite of always worrying about my sink leaking. Okay, so look at those kind of things. What conditions are you placing on others in order to receive your love and approval? What conditions are you placing on others? So look at those things and look at what's important to you. Take a situation or a relationship in your life that occupies most of your mental energy. That's really a good place to look at our opposites, because those situations or people in our lives that we feel closest to or most connected to or occupy most of our mind probably have the most examples of opposites in them. Because if I have somebody in my life that is really important to me, then there's probably, I mean, there's karma there, right? Any kind of person or situation that's important to us has a lot of karma. And we want to see, what are the opposites in this situation, in this relationship? What conditions are there? Well, I love this person, or I love the situation because A, B, and C are happening. What if A, B, and C weren't happening? Would you still love this person? Would you still enjoy being in this situation? What conditions are there that are not of love, but of opposites? And just look at those and write them down and bring them to our Thursday time together. And let's just look at our opposites. Just throw them out all on the table. You can bring your ice cream while we're talking and enjoy that. But this is a great exploration this week. All right. So thank you. And we are going to stop sharing my screen here. And we are ready for our wonderful video from Jane today, our jewel from Jane.
Hi, fellow travelers. This week, you have been busy looking at your mind and how busy that mind is every day, every moment of the day, and how it controls every action you take. That was the third dimension versus the fourth dimension. And we've been talking about the third versus the fourth. And in the third, we live in a world of opposites. We live in a world of I, me, what's in it for me, all the I's and egoic tendencies one has. That's where we live. Hopefully you've got tired of listening to yourself this week. I can remember how tired I was of listening to myself and how boring I was. So I was introducing you to that part of yourself that is constantly chitter-chattering and never really takes you very far anywhere. Because as you are looking at yourself, you're either looking at yourself in one state of the opposites or the next. One state or the next. You're happy. You're looking forward to something. It's happened. It wasn't what you expected. And the disappointment, the resistance, the revenge comes forth. All those things are in the head. It's all in the head. You live from the mental state of beingness. You live here. This is your beingness. And when you came into body, you came in, as I've mentioned, with a life plan. And that life plan has set you up to learn certain things and to support new abilities, new intelligence, new possibilities for you. But we get stuck in this maze, and I think the opposites are a maze. So this week we're going to look at the opposites in our life. We are going to be thinking about the opposites and seeing how the opposites affect us all day long. Because you're never going to want out of the opposites until you really look at how they dominate your existence. So I want you to be thinking about the opposites and thinking about how they dominate your consciousness all the time. Because the third dimension is ruled by the opposites. The opposites experience. And God created it so that we would experience love and be able to experience the opposite of love, which is anger or hate or revenge or all the things that one experiences. Why did this creation create like this? Because God wanted to give us the experience of learning and balancing our soul in whatever way it needs to balance it with the experiences our soul choose to have, because we have free will. We were given that free will from the very beginning of time as we evolved through all the different stages of our beingness. We were given free will. So in that free will, we experienced love, and we also experiencing not love. So we had both of the opposite experiences to teach us. We look at life and we see these people that have lots of money, and you think, well, why did God bless them with all this money? Or this bad health? Or this child dying at 5 years old? What is all this about? One of the things that I questioned so many times was at the beginning of when I had a child that was retarded. Why God? Why did I have this child? Why was that important for me to have this child? And it was to teach you love. Well, of course I love this child. What do you mean, teach me love? You'll find out, Jane. You'll find out what real love is. What is real love? That was a question that I had in the opposites. What is love? Because I can love something and hate that same thing that I loved 5 hours later or 2 months later. What is this thing called love? What is this opposite? I'm in this opposite of love. Love is love. But what is love? Is it control? Is wanting something from somebody else that they never can give us anyway? Love was the big question in my mind. I needed to understand what true love was. That is in the opposites. And as I was investigating what love is, I started to learn that as much as I love something and it didn't come up to my expectations, I didn't like it very well. Now, how does love go from one extreme to the other? From loving something and not loving something? That baffled me. That was in the opposites. That baffled me. And I said, please help me, out-of-body teacher, to understand about love. Because I didn't understand. I began to see that some of my love was all directed at making you want to love me. And yet, if you love me, then what did I have to do to keep your love? You see? Love has many, many dimensions on it. Many, many different hues of light on it, so to speak. But love lives in the opposites. How do I get out of my idea of what love is so I surrendered it to my out-of-body teacher, to God, the infinite intelligence of this universe? Teach me about love. I sure don't understand it. Because even with my children, there were moments I adored them, and then other moments I, oh my God, they are making me so angry. Back and forth. Even a job that I dearly wanted so badly and got. 3 or 4 months later, it was like, why did I take this job? You see, because it was in the opposites. I was there to learn something in that job. I was there to learn something with that child. I was there to learn and to grow and to move out of the limited self that I was. Because, you see, as a soul in evolution, you always come down in a limited state of beingness. Limited. You're limited to this parentheses. And you don't remember that you're unlimited. And I remember when they used to say, you are unlimited. And it's just like, I sure don't feel unlimited. Help me to understand what unlimited is. Well, in the third dimension, you're never going to feel unlimited. You have to stand up beyond. Here's the parentheses. And when you stand up beyond and you can look down into what your actions are and become the great observer of self, which we've been working on for the last few weeks, we are able to understand, we are understanding what's going on in our life from a higher point of view. Because you're so encapsulated in this third dimension. So we've been asking to move out of the third dimension into the fourth dimension where there's clarity. Clarity about what's happening here. Oh, how wonderful not to have to worry about that. Not have to think about that. To have the clarity of beingness. But in order to let go of something, we have to be able to see how it's suffocating us. Because if we don't see how it's suffocating us, we aren't going to move out of it. How important it is to understand that there's love here. There's love here, but it's not possessive love. It's a higher love. And I realized my love was possessive. I realized that my limited self could only love in a certain way, and I wanted to love in a new way. So your work this week is to observe your thoughts all day long, not just when you're meditating. That was last week. This week is observe your thoughts all day long and see how you reinvent yourself moment by moment in your head. You have to get out of your head to go into the greater understanding of who you are. You have to get out of your head to understand real love. You have to get out of your head to move out of this world of opposites. You have to move out of that limited part of yourself that is dominating your life. Dominating it. It thinks it owns it. It's limited. It's a parenthesis that's limited. Move out of that. Move out of that. I empower you to move out of that limited part of yourself that believes in this illusion. This is an illusion. This is an illusion that has to be broken. And the only way you can break it is you have to break it yourself with the help of your out-of-body teacher. You have to break it. And when we live in our mind and it's telling us all these lies about ourselves and we believe them, then we are putting ourselves in this little parenthesis. We are opening the door. We are opening this door. We want to learn about what real love is. We want to learn what we need to let go of. So this week, we are going to focus on what's happening all week long in our head, as we go to the grocery store, as we go to our jobs, as we're with our children. What's going on in our head? What is happening? What is happening? So if you'll join with me just for a few moments, close your eyes and just be with me. Oh, as we open ourselves, give us new eyes to see and new ears to hear so that we are aware of all the things that's going on in our head. Again, this week, not only when we're meditating, but when we're living out our day, help us. Help us, help us. And thank you for helping us. Thank you for opening that door to higher consciousness. Thank you for not letting us be stuck in this small illusion, a parenthesis that we're in right now. There's something bigger. There's something greater for us to discover. And we want to discover it. We are empowered to discover it this week. We are empowered to have many revelations about ourselves in this parenthesis. We are empowered to control our mind. Amen. And thank you for being a part of this journey with me. I will see you next week, and we will move forward. Have fun looking at that little mind that goes round and round. Bye-bye for now.
Oh, wonderful. I guess I forgot to mention how on fire she is in that video. So when you're looking at those opposites this week, be sure to go back and watch that video again, because that will such a great energy to support your process of looking at the opposites this week and really be willing to get real with yourself about how they show up for you. You know, one of the things that can be difficult is, you know, looking at how those things that we love, really we're loving from that conditional space rather than unconditionally. And you might find things in your life where you go, oh my gosh, that's an area where my unconditional love shows up, because there's no, I don't have any attachments or expectations of return when I give out that love. And, you know, and that's a wonderful realization too, to be able to see those places. And as we're moving out of the third dimension and more into that fourth dimensional space, we're really, there's probably more opposites there than we realize. So, and that's okay. This is about looking at them and being aware of them so that we can take our next step out of them. And bring what you're finding to our Thursday Q&A support group, Thursdays at 7 p.m. It's such a great, enjoyable way to have support in this process and share with other people who are doing the same thing this week and like-minded, wanting to move beyond the mind and beyond our human third dimensional existence into something more, and using our intuition more and being more the higher self than the personality self. And we are here to support you in that. And thank you for your support of the Center for Enlightenment, which is sustained by your donations and your gifts and your presence here with us. There's a link for both of those opportunities in the chat. For the Thursday Q&A, as well as to the Center for Enlightenment donation page. Have a wonderful week exploring the opposites, and I look forward to seeing you very soon. Our Center for Enlightenment teacher, James Ma'a, will be leading us next week, so we will work hard and do our part this week to lead up to our next step in this process and our next Jewel from Jane Elizabeth. Have a wonderful week, and I will see you soon. Bye-bye.